Acts 20 and verse 13. And we went before to ship and sailed unto Azos, and they're intending to take in Paul, for so had he appointed, minding himself to go afoot. And when he met us at Azos, we took him in and came to Midland, and we sailed thence and came the next day over against Chios. The next day we arrived at Samos and tarried at Troglium, and the next day we came to Miletus. For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus, because he would not spend the time in Asia, for he hasted, if it were possible for him, to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. Father, we ask you to bless your word today. Speak to hearts. May the Holy Spirit have liberty. I yield myself to you. I confess my sins and seek thy cleansing and forgiveness and pray for the filling of the Spirit. And I ask for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, God chose, for whatever reason, to give us a detailed record of the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul. I mentioned last Sunday in the message that over 12,000 miles by land and by sea, a few more by sea than by land, the Apostle traveled on the missionary journeys in the recorded cities that are given and the distance between them and all that sort of thing that we have outlined in Scripture. Now he wants to get to Jerusalem by Pentecost, the feast, 50 days after the Feast of First Fruits, which comes the Sunday after Passover and unleavened bread. Paul has celebrated the Passover with them here at Troas by observing the breaking of bread. Communion, the Lord's Supper, was established as Passover is fulfilled. We no longer have to kill lambs and put their blood on the doorpost. Christ is the Lamb of God that died and takes our sin away forever and forever. But we observe the Lord's Supper as a remembrance of His death, His broken body, His shed blood, the fact that His death took our sins away, which is recognized in the unleavened bread. So Paul now has a point to try to get, if possible, to Jerusalem by Pentecost. He's traveling by foot, the Bible says, in verse number 13. And he joins the rest of his team, which are traveling by ship. And he's hastening on his journey. Many miles, many hardships, many difficulties in the journey. Today, as we recognize mothers, I see a great similarity with the ministry of the Apostle Paul and what he went through in his experience and what mothers go through in life. The journey, the hardships, the difficulties, the sacrifices that are made. We honor you ladies today, and mothers especially, but all of you ladies who serve God in the church, we are thankful for you. We try to honor you and recognize you and appreciate the service that you provide for the Lord in the church. We couldn't function without you. Now, we have 10 to 15 families that are probably visiting with their children in their churches or their parents in their churches and that sort of thing. And so we're glad that some of you brought visitors today with you here to this church. Paul made many sacrifices, and it takes sacrifices to raise a family. It takes sacrifices to serve the Lord. It takes sacrifices to build a church. And there's so many similarities between Paul's life and the missionary journeys and what we all go through in daily life and mothers who sacrifice so much for us all. The sleepless nights, the long days, the hardships, the seeking to help those who don't always appreciate what we're doing, the advice that we give that is often not taken. As kids get older, they have a mind of their own and choose their own ways. Now, we all seek to serve the Lord, as the songs have said today, because He sacrificed for us, because He gave His all for us. And so we seek to give our all for others in honor of the Lord. Many ladies and mothers make many sacrifices. I'm sure when I say that, all of you can think of your mother and sacrifices she made. Back in the old days, there was a lot of the supposed time-saving devices and luxuries that we enjoy in homes today than have back then. Dishwashers and clothes washers were a lot different, required a lot more manual labor than they do today. And women, you know, washed the clothes of their kids and family and cared for them, cooked the meals. And I remember my grandmother cooking on an old wood stove. It'd be 100 degrees in that kitchen, you know, and that wood stove would be hot as a firecracker. And she'd warn us grandkids, stay away from it, you know, and she'd make them great big old cat head biscuits, you know, in that wood stove and cover the top of them with hog lard, you know, so they'd turn brown and they taste good with love, you know. And you get a piece of leftover bacon or fat back and put in that and eat it, and it'd carry you for several hours of working, I guarantee you. And they made great sacrifices. And Paul made great sacrifices in the missionary journey. My wife and I got saved. I was a welder at Duke Power. They had transferred me from McGuire Nuclear Plant after helping weld in the number one reactor vessel to start the job in Rock Hill at Catawba. I was the third welder on the job and the first welder with all of the nuclear certifications. And so I had a position that I would be over the superintendent over the fabrication shop once it got set up. And I was working for Duke, and we got saved and we got in church and felt the Lord calling us into ministry. And so we sold our house. And my wife, you know, felt security by having her own home. Her parents had gone through a divorce as a teenager, and she, you know, went from here and there a little bit and really didn't have a home to go back to as parents. Both her parents remarried. And so that home meant something to her, but she had to give that up for me to go into ministry. And we sold a lot of our possessions and cars and things like that, toys that we had, and went off to the ministry. And there are sacrifices that people have to make. It's vital that godly people see that serving God is the most important thing in their life. And they recognize that to obey God, whether it's being a husband, a wife, a parent, or serving in some capacity, that there are going to be sacrifices that you're going to have to make that God will call upon you to do. It's vital that we have godly ladies to be the example to the young women growing up in this church, and to teach them and to set a good example for them. In verse number 17, Paul makes an important stop at Ephesus to warn the elders and leaders of the false teachers that are following along behind him as he establishes these churches. He says his goodbyes to them, recognizing he may never see them again when he leaves this place. He leaves them with sorrow. Verse number 22, Paul was bound in the Spirit, the Bible says. Now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Prophets have warned him that he'll die if he goes to Jerusalem. People have warned him of the uprisings that are taking place in Jerusalem against the Christian church. But he's determined, he's burdened, he's bound in the Spirit. It's something he has to do. Regardless of what he's going to face, he knows he must do this, go to Jerusalem. He'd been warned that his life is in danger. But he felt God had a purpose and a plan for him doing that, regardless of his life. And ladies, mothers, people of God today, God has a plan for us all. And to fulfill our role as a mother, as a wife, as a husband, as a parent, as a child, whatever it is, whatever role we have to fill, God has a place and a purpose for us, and it's important that we are obedient and that we're willing to make the sacrifices that we may have to on the journey of a lifetime. It means giving up your own desires a lot of times. A lot of parents gave up their own desires for their family's sake. Didn't drag them all over the place and you know, chase after dreams and all that sort of thing because they had responsibilities and they knew there were things that were needed. Given up because you had desires to do something. It may mean service to others who don't always thank you in return or do anything for you in return. There's not a parent one who hasn't at times raised their children and felt unappreciated. The sacrifices that you've made for them. You know the manner of, Paul said, the manner of how I've been with you, among you at all times. Back in verse 19 and 20, he said that he had served the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying away to the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and taught you publicly from house to house. He kept back nothing. One of the difficulties in life today is if folks get hurt, they get their feelings hurt, things don't go their way, they face some hardship and difficulty, and they have the danger of holding back then in their commitment, not giving 100%. I see this in church work when people have served somewhere else with great sacrifice and difficulty and make a move, and they come and they join a new church. They say, you know, I'm not putting in all the hours I put in before. They hold back. They're not willing to make the 100% commitment. That happens in marriages when people get hurt. It happens in any kind of job or service when people get hurt. Marriage requires not holding back, giving your all, sacrificing, serving God, parenting. All these things require that. Now, certainly you're going to have thoughts that run through your mind. You're going to face difficulties. You're going to have a oh me pity party from time to time. You don't think you can take any more. You think about giving up, quitting. You have a desire that you feel like you deserve better than what you're getting. And I mean, that's just normal human emotions that we all face no matter what we do. When the attendance is big and the offerings are large and everything's going smooth and people are patting you on the back as a pastor telling you how wonderful you are, you know, you just think everything's wonderful, and about a week later when somebody's complaining and everything's going wrong, you'd like to put poison in the communion cup, set the building on fire, and leave town in the dark of the night, you know. And that'll make you think next time you take communion, won't it? My mother stayed with a drunkard husband for 40 years. She was married to him for 49 years. But for 40 years, he drank a quart of liquor every day. And the sad thing was, the last 20 of those, it didn't take but about a half a pint for him to be a sloppy drunk. But he'd keep drinking until he passed out every day. She raised four kids, sacrificed, worked a job. I'm thankful that several years before my dad died, he did get saved. He did change. He certainly wasn't perfect. He was an uneducated man. He could barely read and write. He was an introvert if he wasn't drinking. And he was just a humble, struggling Christian for the rest of his days. And that was so much better than what he was for those 40 years. But my mom held back nothing. Nobody would have blamed her for leaving him. Nobody would have blamed her for saying, I deserve better than this. Nobody would have blamed her if she hadn't sacrificed the way she did. And some of the sorry youngins that she raised, I mean, you know, nobody would have blamed her saying, you know, if I was you, I'd just give them to somebody else, you know. Heartbreak, difficulty, dangers. It's important that we hold back nothing in our relationships and hold back nothing in our walk with God. Paul held back nothing from all these believers, and these especially at Ephesus. Secondly, he went knowing that he would face great adversity. If we wait in life until everything is ideal, you'll never leave home, you'll never get married, you'll never have children, you'll never do anything in your job or expansion of your career or anything of that nature. If you wait for everything to be just right before you do that, it probably never will be just right. Amen. There'll always be hardship, always be difficult, always be trouble. It always takes a step of faith. God requires that of us, that we believe Him, that we trust Him, that we call upon Him, that we ask for His intervention in our life, and that we take a step of faith believing that God will protect us and supply our needs and whatever it may be. If every preacher that starts a church, like my family came here started, if we waited until we had money, if we had income, if we had people, this church wouldn't be here. I don't know if I got enough faith now to ever start another one, but I was naive to a certain degree back then, just believing God would do what He promised to do, and He did. It takes a step of faith in a marriage. It takes a step of faith to raise kids. My oldest child will be 40 years old in June. My wife and I have been married for 43 years. It has not been easy. We're human beings. We have differences of opinion. I rescued my wife from Boone, North Carolina, so she's always appreciated that fact, you know. We've tried to be obedient to God's word, recognize God can supply our needs. And Paul was determined to finish his course. Verse number 24 says, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and with the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Paul wanted to finish well. I want to finish well too. Amen. I want you to finish well. We may falter. We may face difficulty and trial and test. But Paul could say in 2 Timothy 4:7 that I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. He knew there was a reward waiting for him when he met the Lord in heaven and for all of those who love the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be known that I was very imperfect, made a lot of mistakes, but I was faithful to God to the end of my days, faithful in my marriage, faithful as a parent, served the Lord. I want to be known by that. I want to finish that way. I want people to remember me like that. Yeah, we get weary. Christians get weary along the way. The Bible says, "Be not weary in well-doing," but we do get weary in well-doing. We get tired of serving. We get tired of the labor. We get tired of the work. We get tired of the hardships. We get tired of the sacrifices. We've got to remember Jesus was weary in carrying the cross, but he didn't stop and he didn't turn away and he didn't quit. He died there for you and for me. We falter along the way. We may fail. Bible says in Proverbs 24:16, "A righteous man falleth seven times and riseth up again. A just man falleth seven times and riseth up again." We don't have all the answers, but we can get up every morning and we can put one foot in front of the other. And by the grace of God, we can do what's right to the best of our ability and just keep doing that day in and day out, day after day. And God will supply, and God will bless, and God will protect as he's promised to do for his people. Thirdly, he gave the admonition in verse 32 through 38. He said, "Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I've coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, you yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I've showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it is more blessed to give than receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship." An admonition to prepare them as he was departing from them and would see them no more. Many of you have faced that kind of day. Most mothers face that when their children get ready to leave home and go off to college or get married. Or if you feel that your life has a terminal illness or something and you're going to talk to your kids before you pass and try to tell them the last wishes that you have. People go off in the military, and moms and dads recognize during wartime that they might not see their child again. There's a time like Paul had with these elders of Ephesus here where he gave his heart, where he warned them about what could happen. The words of wisdom in verse 31. "Watch and remember, by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn every one of you night and day with tears." The tears that moms have shed, parents have shed over their children and their grandchildren, and over Christians who are wayward, the tears that are shed by Christian believers. He said, I've shown you, I've labored for years for you, I've given you all the advice and counsel that I can, and I'll probably see you no more. Many parents, kids grow up, all the sacrifices mom and dad have made, get them grown, and then they leave. I left home at 17, enlisted in the Marine Corps, never been back home to live again. Got married at 19. Shh, don't tell anybody. That's why I look so young now. I've been married for so long. I don't advise people to do that. By God's grace, it worked out for us because we both got saved. These brethren wept sore. They hugged Paul. They kissed him. They were sorry that they might see him no more. Our missionaries leave for the foreign field for 4 years. Dave Green is in Taiwan. His mother died in the United States of America. He couldn't come home. He had sent his wife home 2 months earlier, paid for her tickets to come home and go back from Taiwan to be with her mother and to stay for a while. And her mother passed away, and then she came back home, and now his mother's passed away, and they couldn't come back for the funeral. In the interim, one of their oldest faithful church members died. He's understanding what it's like for folks who get depressed and discouraged in dealing with the death of their loved ones. Being left behind is not always the easiest thing. We have to be aware our moms won't live forever. If you know Jesus Christ as Savior and your mom knows Christ as Savior, then thank God you'll see them again, like our song said today. We'll see one another again. And godly mothers are satisfied if their children are serving God. Even if you don't always have... Don't you know these missionaries' families are thankful their children are serving God on the mission field, and they understand if they don't get to spend much time with them because they're serving God. They've given their life for a cause and a purpose. But I want to say to you to take the opportunity while you can to give roses to your mother now instead of waiting to put them on her coffin after she's dead and gone. If there's aught in your family, make peace now while you have the opportunity. If you're a parent, you got a wayward child, one that's out of the home, estranged from the family, do everything within your power to repair things with them, because tomorrow they might be the one that runs into a tree in a car wreck and you never see them again. Paul said, you'll see me no more. Go see your mama while you can. Spend time with her while you can. Give her flowers while you can. Listen to her advice. Heed what the Scriptures teach. Serve God to the best of your abilities, and that'll make everybody happy. Put Christ first in your life. Paul wept and prayed and preached and warned and pled. He said in one passage, he said, we were like a nurse caring for you. Thank God for nurses. We got several in the church. Praise God for all the ministry you do. But that passage of Scripture is referring to a nursing mother. Like a nurse cares for her children, like a nursing mother caring for her child, Paul said, that's how we treated you in our service to you, in our sacrifice for you, in our love for you. And moms have loved us that way. Paul, knowing he faced heartbreak, rejection, defeat, was still willing to go and desired to go to Jerusalem with a burden because God had a reason for him to be there. God has a reason why we fulfill the role that He's given us. Mom, dad, husband, wife, child, parent, grandparent, whatever it may be. I want to tell you, by the way, too, I recommend grandparenting. It's a lot more fun than being a parent. I can hug them and love them and put noogies on their head and send them home, you know. Don't have to fool with them all day. I don't stay awake at night worrying about any one of my grandchildren, where they are. That's their mom and daddy's responsibility. Paul sacrificed much, because Christ sacrificed for him. Paul had a little more dedication because he recognized for years he foolishly persecuted the church because he was ignorant of the truth that Christ is the Messiah. And once he came to Christ, he held back nothing. 100% fully devoted, dedicated in every way. And I want to recommend to you that service for Christ should be that way. Don't hold back. Serve the Lord. Don't hold back in your love for your family. Don't hold back in your sacrifices you make. It'll be worth it when you stand before the Lord and when the day ends. My sister told me the other day, she said, I've heard you say it several times. I don't want to live like my mother. I want to get home before dark. I want to get home before dark sets in. I don't know who I am, or somebody else has to take care of me. Bonnie Packer's been going through that for several years. She really wants to go home to heaven to be with the Lord. She is at home. They have called in hospice now for her. She's holding fluids. But she has suffered strokes and all kind of health issues, and she's up in age. But she's anxious to go home to heaven to be with the Lord. Now, my theory is this. My mother didn't need to live to be 93 years of age. She has no quality of life at this point. I don't think God's letting my mother live because she needs to get saved or because there's something wrong with her life she needs to make right or anything of that nature. I think God's allowing my mother to live to test me and my sisters to see, well, we do what is right and we do what we should do. And I want to be found faithful. I want to finish well. The apostle could say he did. He finished his course, kept the faith. And there was a crown of righteousness laid up for him, and not for him only, but for all those who love the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand together. Now, the greatest gift you could give your family today is not a flower or a dinner. The greatest gift you give your family is to be sure you know Christ as your Savior. You could be a person that can pray for your family, can set a good example, can help others. And maybe it's too late for some of you. Your mom's already in heaven, or already passed, or your dad. There's plenty of other people out there that need help, need to know the Lord, need somebody to think about them, care about them. Maybe you ought to adopt a mom. You ever thought of that? Find some lady that maybe don't have a lot of children, a lot of help or something, you know, and they just start sending her a card every year. Give her a little Christmas gift. Don't pay her much attention like a real child would do, you know. Just, you know. Adopt you a mom that has a need. Care for her. If she's not saved, it could make a difference. Thank you all for being here. Father, we thank you for this day and for your love for us and your sacrifices for us. We recognize what Christ did on Calvary for us all. And we pause to think about our moms and the devotion they've had for us and all they did to raise us and set an example and teach us right. Pray blessings on all the ladies here today who love you and serve you, and for moms especially. And in this invitation, we use it for your honor and glory in Christ's name. Amen.